Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to the Bullard Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Miller. We are coming at you live from D.C. because we have our fundraiser tonight, Free Andre, which is now sold out at the Lincoln Theater. But we have a rally beforehand over at the Supreme Court at 5 o'clock. So hope to see some of y'all there. I am delighted to be here with my buddy, Sam Stein, managing editor of the Bulwark. And what a great day for us to meet together for this. Lots of stuff happening. The only thing that sucks is, like, the worst time for news to happen for me for this podcast is, like, the early afternoon, because we tape it late morning and then it goes out in the afternoon. Okay. I finish taping, and then the messiest divorce in history happens.
I know.
So that was a little sad. But guess what? We get to go through it minute by minute together. But before we do, obviously, we got to start with the big news of the day. And so I want to go to a quick clip, and we'll get to the lead story before we get to Musk and Trump.
But we begin tonight with a flurry of activity today at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And yes, let not your heart be troubled. I will address the battle between President Trump and Elon Musk. I know it's of such great international importance. But first, there is fresh scrutiny surrounding Joe Biden and a hardworking auto pen. Take a look.
There's your A block of the Hannity Show, the auto pen.
Do you think there was like a debate before the show? Sean, I think we really need to do Elon. No.
The auto pen.
Yeah,
do we have anything on the Hunter laptop?
How far back can we go? What Biden scandal can we get?
Not a good sign. Not a good day over at Fox. All right. So much shit happened, and we did a bunch of videos you guys have already seen, but for the pod crew, I just want to start, thanks to our friends at The Independent for doing this. We're going to do a minute-by-minute chronology of the feud, and, you know, maybe just chime in with little thoughts as they come to you. All right, so it begins at 1:44.
Yeah.
Quote, Musk posts a slew of tweets to X, including one asking, where is this guy today? Tweeting old Trump balanced budget statements. I missed this one. He then tweeted, the big ugly bill will increase the deficit by $2.5 trillion. So he starts, kind of dips the toe.
Probably should have workshopped that.
Yeah,
that
with the one, big. Yeah. I've been doing the big fugly slut.
Yeah, that's even nobody, much better than the big.
Nobody seems to get that, though. Like Matt Iglesias didn't even laugh yesterday when I said big fugly slut. Oh, I know, it's tough. Not all my material lands. All right. Then he goes on, he goes, is it time to create a new political party in America that actually represents the 80% in the middle?
This is when, in the office, I'm just going to give you the office reactions because you weren't here. We were like, how quickly is Nancy Jacobson and the label's going to call him up?
I'm like, oh, wait. Rich white man wishes that there was a big party that represented him in the middle? I don't know. I was like, one time I did a panel at the Aspen Institute and I had 7 straight questions from rich whites. So we're like, why aren't there any parties that represent fiscal responsibility and social moderation?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, you know. Yeah. So that wasn't Elon's best, but it escalates. Laura Loomer, 2:15, goes after Musk. Musk says, you might be making a mistake. I'm going to be around longer than Trump.
Yeah.
Then 2:37, Trump attacks from Truth Social, says Musk was wearing thin. And then said he doesn't know what happened, but he just went crazy.
Yeah.
Same thing he said about Putin.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yeah,
he said that about Putin. Trump just has a bad read on people, I guess.
Didn't he put, and he put wearing thin in quotations,
yeah.
Which I was kind of curious.
Wearing thin.
Whose quote is that?
I don't know.
Is that like
he also mentioned that he took away his EV mandate, and that's what he might be mad about.
Yeah. This is when it was getting a little bit juicy, and we in the office we were like, oh my. But we weren't freaking yet.
Nobody was sitting up yet. Nobody had leaned forward yet.
But I was refreshing X a lot.
2:48. We talked about this the other day, like, the Musk rapid response element to this. Yeah. Like, if this was a Trump feud versus John Thune.
You and I talked about this. Right? You were comparing like, this to Jeb.
Yeah. It was like, it would take 4 hours for John Thune to reply to anything. You know, you have to get your press
secretary
to
draft. Clear it by legal. Make sure we're not going
to... Musk is just fired. 11 minutes after Trump attacks him, Musk hits back. Such an obvious lie. So sad. Then things went quiet for 22 minutes. It was all silent. People were like, oh, that's an interesting little dispute between two gentlemen.
At this point in the office, we were like, okay, wow. But there we go. Like, that's it. We're cool.
3:10 p.m. Musk.
The bomb.
Musk alleges Trump appears in the Epstein files.
Okay, this one in the office, people were screaming. Like, legit screaming. It was like, oh my God!
Mark this post for the future. The truth will come out, Elon says.
That was a reply to his tweet. Just
files linked to the investigation of sex offender Jeffrey Epstein has emerged as a point of fixation. Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah, for Trump and his allies. Anyway, time to drop the really big bomb.
Yeah.
All right. So that was 3:10. 4:10 after Twitter is insane. Almost an hour passes and Donald Trump bleats out, the easiest way to save money in our budget, billions and billions of dollars, is to terminate Elon's government subsidies and contracts. I was always surprised that Biden didn't do it. That's a good hit.
At this point, I went to the fridge and I got a soda and a little snack. Because I knew where I was. I was like, this is going to be a long day, and I need to hydrate.
I think the Trump hit in a vacuum, pretty good. Like, threatening to take the money away, good hit. Coming right after your Beto, I don't know, Donald. Maybe he's lost his fastball a little bit.
What would you have done?
I don't know.
You're fat a pedo, too.
You ketamine, fat adult fat fuck.
Take away your ketamine. Yeah.
You can't even get hard. You have to inseminate your twin wives.
You're right. Pete Trump would have gone right for the dick.
So, okay, that was okay. Elon then replies, in light of the president's statement about cancellation of my government contracts, SpaceX will begin decommissioning its Dragon spacecraft immediately.
At this point, I got a little worried, honestly. I was like, are we going to have a government? I don't know. Okay.
It's a decent hit there. Then Trump goes on and defends the bill, the substance of the bill.
Boring.
Really boring. 4:11, boy, the Musk leans in again. The Independent says he seems to agree. I would say he clearly agrees that Donald Trump should be replaced by Vice President J.D. Vance.
I think the word was yes.
Yeah, here it is. Ian Miles Chong, a Malaysian shit poster, posted, President versus Elon, who wins? My money's on Elon. Trump should be impeached, and J.D. Vance should replace him. I want to note here, Elon was not tagged in this tweet. So Elon is just like, it's like that smoking meme of Matthew McConaughey is just on X, just taking it all in. He sees this tweet where he's not tagged, quote tweets it, yes.
Yeah.
Trump should be impeached. I want to get back to that in a little bit. 4:26,
okay.
Musk attacks the tariffs. Trump tariffs will cause a recession in the second half of the year.
At this point, I'm like, how much ketamine is this man on?
Musk is going to have the biggest endorphin crash in history. I was looking at my phone. My endorphins are firing. I was like, can you imagine being Elon? Yeah, he's got four phones out. He's getting
alerts
everywhere.
Ain't no way this guy's sleeping tonight. How many times has he peed because of the ketamine at this point? Like five? Yeah.
7:50. So a couple hours go by. Musk says, kill the bill. Call your senator. Call your congressman. Right. Bankrupt America is not okay. And then Musk's last post for the day is a repost that says, this is why Republicans will likely lose the House in 26 and Democrats will spend 2 years investigating and impeaching President Trump.
Well, that was not his last post for the day. His last post of the feud, he then tried to kind of dial it back. And it was a very funny moment where there was like, speaking of being weirdly following weird accounts on Twitter, he replied to like someone with like 180 followers who's like, let's tone it down a little bit. He's like, you're right. I'm not going to decommission the Dragon. Like, where did you find this account? Like, it wasn't even responding to you. Like, where did that come from?
I'm telling you, Elon is just like, Elon is in the mainframe of X. Like, he is like, it's like he is trying to become the singularity.
Maybe
he's receiving totally constant.
He's got the Neuralink in his brain.
You know, like, he's just getting expos fed to him.
Imagine, I think about this every now and then, but imagine you're a Tesla board member and you're watching this and you're like, okay, is this man running our company? Like, what's he doing? I would be like, you need to like focus.
Yeah.
Like on us.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a side point, but the Tesla stock was going down most of the day pretty significantly. Yeah. Weirdly, it went up when Musk accused Trump of being a pedo. I don't know if the market saw that and was like, ooh, Musk might have more power here than we thought in this fight. And I don't, I'm not a professional stock purchaser. This is not financial advice. But what I found that interesting because being in the White House has not really been very good for Tesla. So why did, I don't know why the market reacted so negatively. Do you have thoughts on that?
Well, I think the prospect that Musk could be nuked.
And totally
like,
nuked.
Like literally nuked. I have, you know, although I guess in theory, kind of if you're an investor at this point, you kind of want the guy to get gone.
Yeah, right.
Let's like focus on building cars a little bit. No, I don't try to make sense of this. This is nonsensical.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe it's, and JVL wrote an emergency triad last night that everybody should read. And one of the things that he pointed out is like, Trump does, and there's a worst case scenario for Elon that's pretty bad. On his financially, and maybe that is the thinking here, where like he ends up in the sour spot where nobody's buying, like the libs aren't buying the
Teslas,
the MAGAs aren't buying his ugly ass truck.
Trump is apparently gonna sell the one he bought, the red one.
Yeah,
that was Fox news this morning. So yeah.
So that's it. There's a little SpaceX stuff I want to get into, but I don't think that's my top takeaway. We'll get to that in a second. What? So, did you get a good night's sleep last night? Did you take a melatonin?
Really. not really. I mean, it wasn't like scrolling through it or anything, but I had been hopped up on it all day.
Yeah.
Not to the extent that Elon had, but it was definitely pouring through my veins. Okay. And I was excited about it. And
so now with the day to breathe, I think that there's some people that are more excited. Bill Kristol's a downer this morning. He's feeling more like that Trump will come out of this ahead. Like, what's your
Bill
global
convinced,
takeaway?
Bill convinced me. I got to be honest. Bill definitely convinced me. So Bill's take is that, Trump has... I think this is Bill's word. Trump has Elon's balls or something like in a vice.
Bill Kristol said
he
that?
He said Trump, you can read it in Morning Shots.
Did you not edit? I just assumed
What I edited is I had, and he has big balls, but Bill took that out. Big balls the person.
Got it.
Fuck Bill. Bill's convincing because I think it's basic, like Trump could at any moment just say, you know what, we are going to nationalize Space Force. And by the way, we need to launch an investigation into this because, we don't want someone so unstable, running these companies who's a government contractor. And like, there's plenty of government levers. And if you're sitting there being like, well, that would be really abusive of the government for Trump to do something like that, I beg you to look at what Trump's done. I think Elon, I don't know if Elon's rational enough to recognize that he's kind of screwed here. And Elon's cards, I think he basically played yesterday.
You
are a pedophile and you are in the FCC. He threw like the, I don't know, does he have a bigger haymaker than that? We don't know.
He's got some picks. I mean, we don't know. What was the black eye? Maybe Trump punched him. who knows?
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes. We don't know exactly what he could have. And he's been sleeping at Mar-a-Lago in the White House.
That's
so
true.
So I don't know. He might have insight on Trump's private behavior that other people don't have.
That's
true. I think he could have more cards. It's a compelling case that I think Trump certainly is going to win the Elon fight in the sense of, like, who ends up with more political power, like, et cetera, et cetera.
Trump
has a base of support. Like, just as we were joking earlier, the idea that some rich Silicon Valley guy is going to start a party of moderates. It's like, we tried that, buddy. It's called the Innovation Party. It's going to be Zuckerberg and Jim Van Dyke. Yeah, we've been down that road.
Andrew Yang
tried it. Like, that's I don't think that's going to work. I think that the political base wants the MAGA culture war stuff. I think that the threats to Trump here are also pretty real. And I know that, you might want to diminish it. And this is, maybe my critique of your old pals in the mainstream media. It's like, it's hard to contextualize this stuff appropriately because it's so crazy. And you're just like, how do I cover this? What do I do? But it's like, Donald Trump's top advisor and top donor, the key man that helped him get elected, thinks that he should be impeached and removed from the presidency.
Yeah.
Like, that is a massive story. And I think it's...
I'm not saying it's not.
I know you don't think it is, but it's like because of like they benefit from the clownishness of this, right? You know what I mean? If this is like, let's just imagine a different world. We're like 6 months into the Biden presidency. Who would be the Elon equivalent?
Alex Soros.
No, yeah. Or I was thinking somebody closer, advisor Anita or Mike Donilon or something.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Whoever. Some Biden advisor writes an op-ed that's like, I think that the president should be impeached and removed. He doesn't have his faculties. He's been lying to you about his health. And he's on a pedophile's flight list. Yeah. Like, I do think that the front page story of the Post the next day would be Biden's top advisor calls for impeachment and removal.
Yes.
And that didn't happen today.
Was it not on the front page? I mean, there was plenty of stories.
There's plenty of stories about it.
But you're right.
It's kind of in like a cat fight kind of way, right? And so anyway, I think that that
well,
alone.
This is the problem is we're so conditioned to the circus with Trump that it's right. like, ah, well, it's another champions. But if you object, and this, I think I said this online the other day when this was all transpiring, which is like, I'm deeply, genuinely like entertained by yes. all this. I'm also like really frightened by it.
Yeah, like, it's concerning.
It's incredibly concerning that that these two men who are incredibly the most powerful two men in the world probably among them.
Really?
Are so emotionally unstable, have so much potential blackmail over each other, are so distracted. Like again, like
Friedrich Merz was in the Lincoln bedroom while this was happening. Just as a quick aside, the Chancellor of Germany.
Did you? And we could
like, imagine being this guy. I mean, he's trying to have some tea.
Yeah, he's like, yo, I'm trying to like save Ukraine. And Trump's like, hold on, I'm going to threaten the government contracts of SpaceX. And then it's and then like we didn't even, again the circus things like. We're not even going to talk about it. But yesterday with Merz, he was like, you must have been really upset when the Nazis lost. And I was like, holy shit. But like that doesn't register.
Yeah.
And anyways, my point is there's something real underneath all the show is some really like obvious sirens about where we are as a society.
Yeah. No, the society's in a bad place. And so is the White House. So I guess my point is, so that's just in a vacuum in any other world. The idea that your top advisor would say you should be impeached and removed and a pedophile is very bad for you politically. Maybe that won't help for Trump.
Trump's polls are going to go up.
You know, it's never really happened. Yeah. Karl Rove, I don't believe, ever accused George W. of being a being a pedo. So, you know, anyway. I think that also the political power, you know, this political fight between the techno-fascists right. and the MAGA it's real. There's like a power struggle. Like yeah. Trump obviously has more political power in the sense of there are more voters who care about him, right? Like if there was a primary between Trump and Musk, he would win 85-15 or 90-10. But power in the different sense, like not the direct voter sense. Like you know, obviously there's a lot of influence in Silicon Valley. It benefited Trump a lot. I know that it gave the Democrats this opportunity to be like oligarchs or whatever, but it also like really helped Trump that the owners of all the biggest communications platforms were sucking up to him. Right. And that these huge donors, VCs, were sucking up to him, and the crypto guys.
It was a different type of oligarch, too. It was like, these guys represent the future. They're innovation oligarchs, right?
Yeah.
Not old banker oligarchs,
right?
So it felt like a little different politically.
Yeah, and so I think it gave him a lot of some benefits, you know, just direct benefits and like how their platforms treated him, et cetera, et cetera. But also like future political opportunity for MAGA, right? This idea that like you could coalesce, you know, the Cletuses and the evangelical Christians mm-hmm. and like the traditional Republicans and also add in these kind of non like ideological really like tech bro like kind of crowd. Like that was an important add to the Trump coalition this time for 2016, and that definitely feels in threat right now.
So it's funny now that you're just articulating it out loud, but it's bringing me back a little bit to what Democratic politics actually used to be, which is you have this pretty wide tent.
Yeah.
And usually the main players either have to sort of align themselves with the moneyed interest or the populists. And that was not always the case necessarily with Republicans, but this is the result of an expanding coalition.
Yep.
And so, you know, Trump's real talent has been he's managed to bridge the two. And I don't know – that might be the ultimate thing here is like it might not be bridgeable anymore because – really, it's like, you know, you have Steve Bannon basically telling Trump that he does, in fact, need to nationalize Space Force and, oh, by the way, maybe deport Elon Musk, like at this point.
And we're getting to that.
Yeah, and we're going to get into that. So, but that is true. And it may force the Republican lawmakers to kind of take a side in this fight in a way that they haven't really had to choose this type of stuff before.
Yeah. A couple other, I think, top implications of where Musk has a little bit more, some power. So number one is, I guess Politico, your old pals are reporting that there's going to be a call today. They're going to try to do a truce.
Yeah, but that's been kind of debunked.
Has it?
Yeah, okay. So Trump made a couple. First of all, this is fun because Trump's like calling every reporter in D.C. whose cell phone number he's had.
Who has he called today?
So far, just that we know, he's called Bob Costa, Dana Bash, Dasha Burns and Jonathan Carl. So at least four people, they've talked to Trump on the phone.
Is your phone on Do Not Disturb? You might want to leave it on just in case.
missed it. No. And each call, he's telling every single reporter, I'm not even thinking about Elon, which is like self-refuting. don't worry. I'm not thinking about it. I'm just telling you I'm not thinking about it.
It's like the guy in the banana suit. Like, we're looking for the guy.
Don't know who did it. But he's also dismissed the idea that he's going to have a phone call with Elon. So I don't think there's going to be that today. Yeah.
And I also just – so generally, my point was even if they did get to a truce, which I think is possible, who knows, that they would try to, it's not really sustainable. And this, I think, goes to the Elon psychology. There have been kind of two schools of thought on Elon from the start. There was one that this was a huge corruption scheme and that he wanted from his AI, whatever, to gather as much information as possible from the government. He wanted to expand Starlink, and he was using this to enrich himself. And there's maybe some overlap between these theories, but like that was his core intention. Then there's another theory, which is that his brain has been broken by his own app. And like the fact that his daughter was trans, and then he gets on X, and that he's doing all these drugs, and that his brain is broken, and he is just a rabid poster, and he ended up getting radicalized in MAGA, and that's why he's doing this, and he doesn't actually give a fuck about his companies or the money. And I was always more in camp two. He just, to me, reads like somebody who's completely unstable and has lost his mind, and I know some of these people. I have some of them in my life, people who have taken the MAGA pill, rather than somebody who's like really strategically trying to manipulate the government. Right. And if that is right, if the theory that his brain is broken is right, he can't truce because Elon's online all day. Right. And so something's going to happen that, like, they can have a short-term truce, but then something will happen that
You were joking about this when you said something about posters.
Posters are going to post.
Yeah.
Elon's a poster. Elon's going to post. And so that's
cases of reformed posters that you know of?
Neera. Neera's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. Neera Tanden.
But she's kind
of
getting back.
She's getting back in the game a little bit. She, for you don't know, she was Center for American Progress. Was an epic kind of Hillary poster, neo-lib Hillary poster. Like really, really strong game. And then went to work for Biden and chilled. I don't believe that Neera was doing like a ketamine meth snowball. And so it makes I think it was easier for her to reform maybe than Elon.
You don't really know Neera then.
And so I don't see it. And this bill, and so this takes me to my second point, which is that this bill is going to continue going through.
Right.
It's created real political problems for the bill. Does it mean that it won't pass? I don't know. But like it's made it much more fraught. And you really think that Elon, who's like on Twitter 20 hours a day, is going to not shitpost this bill as it continues to go through the process? Obviously, he's going to keep shitposting it.
No, and there's certain Rubicons he's crossed that you can't uncross. Like,
shame on you if you support this bill.
Yeah, call your lawmaker. But I was thinking more like once you say this man's on the Epstein list, like I don't think you can put that genie back in a bottle. I also think
the VP did say Trump might be Hitler.
That's true.
It's possible to get the genie back in the bottle with Trump, I think.
That's true, I guess. It kind of got lost a little bit in this, but probably something that will bother Trump is that he claimed credit for Trump winning. Mm. And Trump does not ever want to hear something like that.
Yeah.
So, I think Trump will be aggrieved at it about that. I think ultimately, like, the effect on the bill is not that it's going to, like, convince lawmakers to vote against it. I think, and you and I talked about this, I think what it does is it creates a bit of space for lawmakers who are already not for it to say, you know what, I kind of agree that we need to do more and like maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit and like let's get more deficit reduction here. And then
does Elon going so crazy make that actually harder for some of the Republicans?
Yes, there's a surely. Yeah, if he's like totally.
If Elon was like narrow focused on the deficit, maybe the Freedom Caucus guys might have been like, I'm with Elon. But if he's like, Trump is a pedophile, he should be removed from office, makes it a little harder.
I think that's right.
I mean, Elon's out there. Like, his takes on Trump are now more extreme than any MSNBC primetime host.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's nobody on MSNBC primetime who has said that Trump should be removed.
If you were on MSNBC primetime and you said that, you might get, like, Trump might go after the network.
You get a call from the boss.
Yeah, it would be bad. Yeah, it was it's not something that normal people say.
Yeah, so Republicans, it's hard. It makes it harder for them to be with
him. But he is still rich, and he does still have the capacity to, like, amplify X in your favor. So let's say you're just like a random Freedom Caucus member who isn't in love with the bill, and you could now say, okay, you know what? I agree on the principles that he's talking about, and then Musk starts boosting you, and he makes you into a hero, and he throws a bunch of money behind you. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that now that is a component of this legislative debate.
I think it's also, we discussed this a little bit before this all went down with Iglesias yesterday, but he is very focused on how do you raise the salience of this bill? Because his point is like, this is unpopular. So if you get to the Democrats thinking on this, like,
well, that's
cutting
the problem,
taxes for the rich and cutting Medicaid is not popular. And so does just Elon talking about how awful it is make people who otherwise wouldn't even be paying attention to this, like, aware of this bill? Maybe that's harmful for the bill?
So the issue for Democrats, I think, is that what Elon doesn't like about this bill is not what they give a shit. I mean, like, they obviously aren't for taxes
for
the rich.
But just, like,
he's not even talking
drawing
about
attention to an unpopular thing is maybe
if
good.
Elon, but if Elon was, like, being like, it is just irresponsible for us to cut Medicaid like this.
Right.
Democrats would be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's fine. But that's not what he's saying. And so it becomes a little bit of a bank shot. I think Andrew Edgar in today's morning shots sort of made the case, well, you can make it about like these two, you know, men who are in a dick measuring contest are just basically trying to figure out how to
a
like.
A really small ruler for that contest. I don't know. It's like one of those like preschool kid rulers. You can't get a regulation size.
Okay. it's like a mom and pop contest. But just make it about them being like chaos agents who you're entrusting them to like handle your health care and your taxes, and you sort of like tie it to their general unpopularity. But I don't know. I mean, Democrats could just be like, look, he thinks Trump's on the Epstein list. Investigate. And I think the Oversight Committee is doing that. So we'll see.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Should somebody file the Elon Musk articles of impeachment, maybe? That feels like a Jared Moskowitz
bill. That would be a Moskowitz. He's the one member who would be like, yeah, that's – if you want to troll, go to Moskowitz.
Poor Shri. Yeah. What's his name? Shri, the one congressman who tried to – who tried to say
tried
for impeachment.
Yeah. He tried impeachment and they were like, please do not do that,
it's
sir.
Only Shri and Elon are the only guys out there. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit – I was in your camp yesterday on, like, this isn't that helpful for Democrats because he's focusing on the debt and deficit rather than the really unpopular stuff. But I don't know, man. Part of this now, I just think it trickles out into the world in a way that it wouldn't have otherwise. And that, like, people who do not really care about,
how do they
like,
view it?
Yeah. That just they start to feel like, wait a minute. Okay, so what is this thing that they're fighting about? And it, like, increases the debt a ton, and it cuts taxes for rich people, and it cuts Medicaid. Like, who's for that? Like Stephen Miller is really, like, the only person who seems passionately for this bill that I can tell. And so I think that if you get that out into the ether more, I don't know. I think maybe it can be an opportunity for
the
Democrats.
The opportunity is to just sow dissent in the Republican ranks, right? It's like – you know, get the party's base upset with Trump for abandoning fiscal conservatism. And, you know, you divide the opposition and that's your benefit. Yeah. I don't think it's like, oh, we're going to like turn people into like staunch defenders of Medicaid because of what Elon's doing. I don't think that's really what
I think it also puts a little bit of a damper on like Republicans going around talking about how great it is.
Yes, 100%.
So I think it hurts their sales pitch for
exactly.
the bill.
So that's the sow division thing. It's like if you have even like 10%, 20% of the party, it's like, actually, this bill kind of sucks. I agree with Elon.
Yeah.
Then it becomes more problematic, and then you'll start to see in the polls that it, you know, the popularity of the bill goes down, and then that creates its own news cycle, and then you start seeing a little bit of snowball effect, which is why I think they're trying to rush this thing through. I mean, they cannot spare any time on this.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Okay, a couple side journeys.
Okay,
J.D. Vance, the vice president, who's the human that most represents the kind of concentric, the overlapping circles between the tech fascists and the MAGA fascists. Yeah, he's right in the middle of the Venn diagram. And so it's a little bit of a sticky wicket for him politically because he's going to stay with his patron Trump.
Yeah.
But, assuming that there's an open primary in 2028, and like he's going to want the tech guys to be with him, Peter Thiel was his main patron.
Yeah.
So how does he play this? He's posted two posts about this. One tweet was a selfie of him, with him and Theo Von.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's going to do the Theo Von pod, which as soon as I saw that, my heart sank because I was like, God, this means I have to spend 2 hours watching J.D. Vance and Theo Von.
Yeah.
Cracking
some weird jokes and laughing uncomfortably.
The other one was, President Trump has done more than any person in my lifetime to earn the trust of the movement he leads. I'm proud to stand beside him.
You notice who wasn't mentioned in that?
Elon?
No.
It was kind of limp, I thought.
Kind of. Exceedingly limp. I mean, Trump's out there being like, Elon's gone mad and crazy. Like, this guy needs to get off those drugs. And, and JD's just like, I like President Trump. That's pretty limp. I would expect more from my VP.
He's earned the trust of the movement. And I guess what he's trying to say is that, like, people should stick with Trump. I guess that's what he's trying to say is, like...
Again, what is that? I mean, that's like, a very defense of Trump. It's like, if you really... You should have said, Elon's totally wrong. Trump is the man. And this is bullshit. And I'm sad that Elon's having this breakdown. Like, that would be a normal statement, but...
Yeah. I don't know. And it also feels like it could be said about kind of anybody.
Yeah.
It was not a very... So the JD thing, like in the end, what will matter for JD is if this administration is a total disaster or not,
mm-hmm.
and if he can stay in Trump's good graces.
Yeah.
And like that's like basically it. Like those are essentially the two things that matter to him. Like I don't think that like at the end of the day, if I expect the next 3 years to be a total fucking shit show and that people will be ready to move on. I could be wrong from that.
Sure.
I've been wrong before. We'll see. But let's assume it's just normal crazy. Like there's no big recession, you know, bad shit happens, but like within the normal bounds of football, you know, of Trumpy football.
You know, just every now and then the top advisor
calls for an impeachment.
You know, the normal bounds.
Like this, they stormed the Capitol last time and got reelected. So I'm just trying to set Trumpy bounds. And, you know, like, I guess let me rephrase it. People's lives aren't materially hurt, like MAGA people.
Sure.
Immigrants' lives are materially hurt. Lots of people, but MAGA people's lives aren't materially hurt. And Trump sticks with him, and Trump steps aside normally, and he runs. It's going to be very tough to beat. You know what I mean? Like the tech guys will know he's one of them, right? So I don't know that it's quite as sticky as it seems. Like, and I think that the play for him is pretty clear. He's got to stick with Daddy Trump, and it would have to be pretty ugly, I think, to blow back on him.
And I think the general lesson is that everything is ephemeral in Trump years, right? It's like everything that we think is like massively consequential eventually recedes into our memories. Like, you know, 3 weeks ago, we thought the Qatari airline gift was going to be a huge scandal. He just accepted the plane and we moved on. Like, you know,
so I haven't moved on.
You've moved on.
Have I?
Yeah, spiritually, I think you have. JD.
I feel really red by that because honestly, I kind of have. I don't give a fuck about the Qatari plan. I actually hope I go back to my initial take when he was on it.
We were talking about how this one is going to stick.
I was not. That was not me. Fine.
I thought it was, but we were like, oh, this one's breaking through.
That does not sound like me at all. That was not me.
Fine. Okay. It was me.
Might have been you. It might have been you on your The Weeknd hit on MSNBC.
I do. So JD's just got, I think JD probably knows this too. I mean, JD was out there saying Haitians were eating dogs.
Yeah. And we
were
it's a little harder to weather the storm if Elon keeps shitposting.
Little harder to weather the storm if people are suffering because of your policies, including the MAGA people.
True.
If coronavirus hits and like there's 20 million unemployed overnight, that's when it's hard to, you know, weather the storm.
Fingers crossed. All right. A couple other side plots. Oh, you had mentioned it earlier about the Bannon of it.
Yeah.
We have there's a strange JVL Steve Bannon alliance that is developing. I know it makes me uncomfortable to even mention, but I want to hear Bannon and then we'll talk about it.
And for any fanboys that still exist, while you're wrapping up in your cape tonight, understand on Doge, he didn't find any fraud. There's plenty of fraud out there. This is President Trump's first complaint. Was this all BS, right, with the Doge? The act that President Trump should be taking immediately, I think, when he threatens to take one of the big programs out of SpaceX, President Trump tonight should sign an executive order calling for the Defense Production Act to be called in SpaceX and seize SpaceX tonight before midnight.
Seize SpaceX tonight.
It didn't happen, for the record.
They did not. SpaceX was not seized. That's bold from Bannon. JVL has been calling for a while. I think even during Biden times, he'll correct me, but he did so again in the triad, which people should go read on thebork.com, to nationalize SpaceX for a little bit maybe like less cheeky reasons than Bannon does, but very legit reasons.
Elon basically proved JVL's point when he said, oh, I'm going to decommission the Dragon. It's like, oh, you're going to – one man can just decide that we're going to like leave astronauts abandoned in space. Like, is that really in our national interest to have – like all our space policy kind of at the whims of one ketamine infused nut job?
Not good.
It's not.
Yeah. And I would like, maybe we need to bring in a space expert on YouTube to give me some, I'd like to see some policy options put in front of me. If President Tim was out there, because the word nationalized gets me a little,
of course, you're conservative, you don't like it.
I get uncomfortable if I hear the word nationalized. I don't like seize. I really don't like seize. So when Bannon wants to seize something,
incorporate into the government.
Yeah, I like that word, incorporate. Here's the other thing. Like, SpaceX has done better than NASA.
Yeah, Barry over here is a big proponent. He thinks it's broke through the cartel.
It's done better. Like, that's just a fact. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like Elon. So I don't think that we should take our terrible, shitty space program and take over Elon's successful one. Is there a middle ground, that I'm looking for?
I don't know. I'm not an expert in law. If you could ideally if the government had the power to put in a different CEO, I hereby declare you not CEO.
Could we have a guy from the government in the corner office?
Just watching. Elon, don't touch your pill.
Yeah, what was in the office where they put Milton down in the basement? Can we just put a Milton in space? Can we put Milton in SpaceX and just be like, when big decisions happen, you got to bring Milton up?
Or you just create a Truman Show type system where Elon thinks he's running SpaceX and he's not.
I don't know. It makes me a little uncomfortable that the War Room and the Bulwark are calling for the same thing. But JVL's arguments have been very legit and policy-based for a while.
And he also adds his point is it's going to have to happen, and it's better that it happens with Donald Trump doing it than Joe Biden or whoever else is a Democrat.
For sure. I don't know the audio of this, but Bannon had a couple other suggestions. Bannon's never liked Elon. If anybody was – I know all the libs thought that was yesterday was your best day. It was our best day, the resistance. Nobody was having a better day yesterday than Steve Bannon. He was literally a pig in shit. I mean, he was rolling around.
On NPR this morning. Yeah. He's doing the rounds.
Rubbing his nipples between the three shirts. He's hated Elon for a long time, and so he loves us. And so he was chiming in.
He might
have
put on a fourth collared shirt. It got so hot.
He was chiming in on how Elon should maybe be deported. There, another strange alliance. Congressman Adam Smith of Washington also suggested this. Democratic congressman. So maybe a little bit over his skis. But I don't know. I feel similarly to this as I do about the Epstein situation. Like, it does seem to me to be true that Elon was an illegal immigrant in the country, and maybe DHS should look into that in the same way that it does seem to be true that Donald Trump was involved in a very deep way with Jeffrey Epstein and maybe has covered up some of his involvement, and that should be looked into. I kind of think that those are both legitimate. They're trolls and legitimate. What do you think?
I mean, do I have to respond?
Yeah, you do have to respond.
I think I'm not ready to go down these paths.
Okay. You don't think that DHS Secretary Kristi Noem should look into Elon's immigration history?
If Susie from
Missouri or whatever.
Do I think I would enjoy watching it all transpire? Yes, I would. I would go and get another, you know, seltzer and some popcorn. I'd sit back and hit refresh on X. I think when we have the government like targeting critics and deporting them, that's a problem. But you know, maybe
I'm against that too.
Yeah.
I'm against the government targeting critics and deporting them. I will say, though, that they've set a policy in this administration.
Good for the goose, right?
Yeah, and their policy is basically, like, no exceptions on immigration rules. Like,
does it apply to people who came here lately but have since become citizens?
I don't know. I mean, they've been taking random, like, ladies that have been working at diners, working in this
country
for 30
years. Next thing
we know,
we're going to get a picture of Elon with MS-13 transposed on his knuckles. Look, we didn't see it when he was at Doge, but it was right there.
They've been taking, you know, they took the high school kids who are on the honor roll.
Oh, no, no doubt. I'm not saying they're clean. I'm just saying.
They're going through everybody's files?
Sure. I mean, yeah. Let's see if it
What do you think about the white Afrikaners? Do you think they have anything to worry about right now?
Yeah, would he come back in through the white Afrikaner refugee program?
It was a great day on the X platform. I know that makes some people uncomfortable, but it was.
Let's actually do this. Yesterday, obviously, was a great day on X.
Yeah.
And I might guess that it was the best day in a long time. What was your best
day? The best day ever was when Trump got COVID.
That was a crazy day. That was
Trump getting COVID was the best day on X, or Twitter was Twitter then, and it was the best day by far.
Yeah, okay.
It's hard to even think of a close second, honestly. that one was so much better than everything else, but I'm sure.
When he was flown to Walter Reed, and we were like, oh,
I have
my
a
God.
Few text chains that are going to be disappointed in me, so please nominate for me some other
candidates. Yeah, we should come back and circle back on the best days.
Okay, well, my two favorite posts yesterday, one was... this is like the Kendrick versus Drake beef with two Drakes. I really enjoyed that. And the other one was Trump's new policy towards white Afrikaners, and it was that guy jumping around going, kill the boar.
There were a lot of good tweets.
Those were both good.
The meme of Trump on the Tesla. He's like, I got this before Elon went crazy. Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was good. So do you think the white Afrikaners should feel a little nervous?
Maybe. Yeah, probably. Their champion is no longer there.
Took away
all
the
those
TPS.
Doge people, are they going to be tossed?
Speaking of white Afrikaners, is David Sachs? Do we know whose side David Sachs is on? Is he posted? Okay, we're gonna look to see if David Sachs is posted.
There are a lot of people who are going to be caught in the middle here.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back. With plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
All right. We have an important final segment on the Commerce Secretary that's going to be pretty good. But I have a couple other side plots.
Sure.
There's been some discussion. Is there an Elon Lib redemption arc possible decides to go whole hog? Never Trump. He's on this podcast by Labor Day. You know, he says Trump's been wrong. He has always cared about the environment. He also has always cared about the debt and deficits. And he still has some concerns about the trans thing. But other than that, like, he pretty much has seen the error of his ways, and him and Bill Gates are going to go to Africa together. Yeah. Is that possible? That's fantasy, right?
Well, your podcast guest yesterday, Matt Iglesias, proposed maybe, you know, some sort of detente there.
An armistice?
Yeah. Again, I'm a moving target here because I initially was like, of course you let him back in. You know, the enemy, right? But then I kind of thought about it, and he is so crazy. And he's so unpopular. And he also, like, did, like, so much damage. Like, you know, just even the USAID stuff alone. It's like, you can't let someone like that back in. Like, you, what would it say about your moral values? It doesn't mean you can't use them strategically. And I'm assuming they will, right? Like, they should. But, like, you know, maybe if you want to take some of his cash quietly, probably you should do that. But, boy, I wouldn't be like, Elon's now one of us.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible because it goes back to my earlier point, which is
what is his popularity rating among Democrats?
It's got to be zero.
It's like close, I mean, right?
Close to zero.
How do you let someone like that? Actually, we like this guy. It's like, no, it doesn't
matter. Yeah, I don't think so. And the other thing is it goes back to my you have to have a theory of the case of what happened to Elon. And if your theory is mine, which is his brain has been broken by the internet, he's not capable. Like, he's deep in poster brain.
Yeah,
he's still like retweeting again, like random white nationalists. Yeah,
he's too far lost. I feel like at this point.
It would be pretty funny though if he does the opposite and starts like retweeting like lib posters, like the Krasensteins,
all
the
sudden Elon's.
Elon's would be kind of tweeting the Krasensteins.
He just adjusts his own algorithm and like, oh my god, he and Ro Khan are hanging out.
Did we miss? I'm going through to see if there are any other side plots, and I pulled up Drudge.
This is
a great day for Drudge.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read a couple of the headlines if you want to weigh in on any of them.
Sure.
Musk says Republicans should side with him because Trump will die first.
True.
We've got here Russia offers Musk asylum.
Did they really?
Apparently.
I didn't see that one.
I haven't seen that one. let's see. Trump's hints at Musk's drug use, ban and deport Elon, we covered that.
Yeah.
Oh, the Sergio Gore. There's a picture of Sergio Gore. If people don't know him, he's this super dork dweeb that used to work for Rand Paul. And his picture is on Drudge right now doing the raised fist because apparently
– He started
he was like – apparently Sergio Gore started this.
So the backstory is Sergio
– he was like a guy that when I would go to parties in D.C. like 13 years ago, he would be like in the corner – like being very weird, like hoping girls could talk to him while he's looked at his BlackBerry.
Yeah, he's like an incredible power broker in Trump's White House. Yeah, so he basically, the backstory is that he killed the NASA administrator job, and that was an Elon guy. And he did it because he showed Donald Trump that the guy had donated to Democrats, and Trump didn't like that. And then Elon flipped out over that, and that's what precipitated all this. So Sergio Gore started all this. Apparently.
That is wild. All right, two other Trump-related stories before we get to the Commerce Secretary closing segment.
Sure.
Reagan National Airport will close.
Okay, this is fucking – I'm mad about this one. Go ahead.
Same. Well, that's it. It will close during the president's birthday bash slash the military parade. We're closing down Reagan National Airport.
I'm supposed to fly out of Reagan that day.
No.
Yes. I'm supposed to go.
I thought you were pissed out about it on principle.
Oh,
you're pissed
too.
Out of
but
it.
Personally.
I'm supposed personal to fly. Inconvenience. You got to go to Dulles now. That's your final straw with Trump.
Yeah. How dare you send me to Dulles? No. I'm supposed to go to Fenway with my little kid for
that's
a baseball
fine.
Game, and it's going to get fucked by Trump. Motherfucker.
it's just wrong.
It's ridiculous.
It's
any other
bad.
Any other president who would do this shit. I mean, it would be like a scandal of epic proportions. Closing the airport, $40 million on a parade that's going to tear up D.C. streets. It's nutty. It's totally insane.
He's not a fucking king. That's why they're having no kings rallies that day. People should go June 14th to one near you.
We
got
to discuss
you.
How we're going to cover it as a site.
I'm going to be in New Orleans at the protest.
Okay. Maybe go live.
Yeah, sure. Nobody's invited me to speak yet, but we'll see. I might just take a ball hard. My other aside thing, I mentioned this before we came, and you're less excited about this than me, so maybe I'll just do it. But Trump did a bleat this morning about how Jerome Powell should cut rates again. But a very direct call for him to cut rates. That Europe's already cut. We should cut. We need to. It'll be a big boom. And this is going to a bad place. And I think that my reasoning here is that, yeah, Trump does this stuff a lot. There's a lot of bluster and all this. But he's in a pickle where with this bill and all the and the trillions that are going in the debt, like interest rates are going to be high his whole presidency. Mm-hmm. Like that's just true.
Yeah.
And so I do think that like eventually this is going to come to a head. And, like, these guys could cut rates a little bit, and it probably wouldn't matter that much, actually. And that gets into kind of econ dork stuff. But
And that's the reason to not cut rates is you want an arrow in the quiver, right?
Right.
When you're going to need it.
Yeah. And so I just think that, like, the whole – and when you listen to, like, my buddy Joe Weisenthal and the Oddlots, like, all these econ dorks, like, the worst-case scenario essentially is, like, Trump getting rid of Powell just – you know, because of how that would roil the markets and what the downstream effects would be. And I just, like, that feels to me like a little more likely today than yesterday, I guess that's all I'm saying.
Yes, maybe. I mean, he's always been deeply frustrated with Powell, and he makes it publicly known. There was a recent Supreme Court case that seemed to suggest that they would stand up the independence of the Fed. But you don't know until you don't know, right? And, like, who knows what Trump's capable of if he gets mad or if the economy goes south. I think that's what, you know, this is – we don't appreciate this part enough. And this is what I think, you know, even with all the must drama, it's like this is the shit that's happening when things are relatively stable, right? That's the scary part for me is, like, things are not bad. I mean, if they are bad, it's because Trump made them bad himself. So it's not like – but when things do get bad, and they get bad in every presidency.
There's no really external force, like new – you know, and like the Russia invasion, like some stuff happening in the Middle East. All that stuff was already happening.
It all predated him. All the Liberation Day stuff was of his own making, and then he backed off of it, right? But when things do get bad, and they will because it – oh, that's just how it works. Like then we don't really know what Trump is going to do and what he's capable of. And so – while it seems incredibly dramatic and off the rails right now, and it is, I'm like a little bit anxious, anxious for what happens when the external stuff.
Because things are more rickety. Like obviously COVID and all that was really bad. But like when COVID hit and like that was, you know, the big crisis of his first term, things are pretty good. I mean, like the Trump part, the drama, the craziness, his behavior.
Yeah, I mean, he did get impeached before COVID, but that was.
Yeah, I just mean like geopolitically and economically is really what I mean.
Sure.
There were not like, you know, huge disruptions overseas or hadn't been a terrorist attack. Economically, we were pretty stable here, right?
Yeah.
Like things are much more rickety now than then, I guess is my point. Just like the U.S. economy is way more rickety than it was in 2019. The global environment, like there are a lot more hot spots, a lot more bullshit happening than there was back then. So anyway, I'm with you.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back. With plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
All right. I'm looking directly into the camera for the YouTube viewers. The final segment. The Commerce Secretary was over on the Hill this week, and I want to play a couple clips from it. You know that he's my favorite member of the cabinet.
Is he?
Well, in some ways, we'll talk about that. And before I name him, I want to go to Senator Jerry Moran from Kansas. You forget Senator Jerry Moran exists, by the way.
There's way more forgettable.
There are these
senators,
whole category of Republican senators from the before times who just like don't want you to remember that they exist.
Name both senators from Idaho.
Riche and Crapo.
Oh, damn, dude, you're good.
Yeah, of course. I'm a fucking professional political podcast host. Okay. All right. The senator from Kansas addressing the Commerce Secretary. Barry, please play that.
Secretary Nutnick, thank you for your testimony today. I look forward to working closely with you and throughout the appropriations process.
Barry, play that one more time.
Secretary Nutnick, thank you for your testimony today. I look forward to working closely with you and throughout the appropriations process.
He does it twice. Nutnick. Senator Nutnick. I got to tell you, Commerce Secretary Nutnick. I got to tell you, Sam, it has been extremely challenging for me to not say Nutnick on MSNBC. And I have to, like, sit there when I'm on Deadline White House. No, I haven't yet. Okay. But, like, when – I think it was earlier this week that Nicole started playing some clips. And I'm sitting in the chair, and I'm just in my head, I'm going – Lutnick, don't do Nutnick. Lutnick. Like, I have to talk to myself in my brain to make sure I don't call him Howard Nutnick on MSNBC. I think Jerry Moran's giving me some cover, though, now, is what I'm saying. So it might be happening.
It's free game.
Yeah, I think it might be happening. All right, I want to play a couple of the other clips of Nutnick on the Hill. It was an exchange between him and my senator from Louisiana, John Kennedy, and another exchange with Madeline Dean, a congresswoman from Pennsylvania.
If Vietnam, for example, came to you tomorrow and said, okay, Mr. Secretary, you win. We're going to remove all tariffs and all trade barriers. Would the United States please do the same? Would you accept that deal?
Absolutely not. Okay. Absolutely not. That would be the silliest thing we could do.
What's the tariff on bananas? Americans, by the way, love bananas. We buy billions of them a year. I love bananas. What's the tariff on bananas?
The tariff on bananas would be representative of the countries that produce them.
And what's that tariff?
Generally 10%.
Correct, 10%. Walmart has already increased the cost of bananas by 8%.
There's no uncertainty if you build in America and you produce your product in America, there will be no tariff.
We can't produce
the concept
bananas in
of
America.
Building in America and paying no tariff
we cannot,
is very, very clear.
We cannot
fighting
build
for imports,
bananas in America.
This man ran Cantor Fitzgerald. Howard Nutnick. What is happening? He wants us to build banana groves? Where?
I don't think he knows what he's talking about, but you know? I think he does. His belief is that if he can do it with enough like infectious enthusiasm, that just bullshit his way through it. It's really amazing. The banana thing is too funny. And yes, I know you love bananas, but
banana daiquiris really are my favorite.
My dad is. I don't think anyone loves bananas more than my dad.
Really?
Can I tell you something? My dad has had a banana every morning with his cereal for every day for like
no.
some of that. No, we calculated once.
Does he cut it up and put it in the
cut
cereal?
Cut it up, slice it in the cereal. And this is no joke. We calculated this once. We discovered that if you do the math, he's had something like 17,000 bananas over the course of his life.
What is your dad's first name?
Steven.
Steven Stein?
Yeah.
Just every morning he gets out his little knife, just cuts through. Does he like them green or brown?
Oh, that's a good question. Whenever he comes to see me in D.C., he's always calling me up. He's like, get me the bananas. Buy me them where they're still green, but they're starting to turn yellow.
Okay.
He likes them a very specific.
Me and Steve, same. That's how I like my bananas
like
as well.
I like mine overripe a little bit.
Oh, no, I like closer to green.
Oh, not too much.
I want totally ripe for the daiquiri because you want it nice and sweet
daiquiri. Yeah, you want the sugary ripeness,
Yeah, but if I'm going to eat a banana whole, I want it greenish.
17,000 bananas is a lot of bananas. I think that's just too much.
Think about how much like you would have lost in your inheritance if he was paying 8% more on a banana every day for 17.
Why we got to grow bananas in America.
The one other thing I want to talk about that Nutnick exchange was John Kennedy, who's a fucking moron.
Yeah, but he got him there.
Yeah,
he got him.
Okay. So this is my point. There are two kinds of stupid in this world. There's Howard Lutnick stupid.
He's like,
I don't even know. What am I gonna do? No deal.
Give us
a zero. But then there's Kennedy, who like thinks he's smart and it thinks he's making this point that it's like, hey, why don't you guys try to get it down to zero? I'm a free trader. We're the free trade party. Remember, he's trying to nudge.
I read it a little differently. But go
ahead. I think that he's trying. By his own words later, he says, "I'm trying to nudge them towards my policy goals," and it's like, bro. You signed up for this. Yeah. They want the tariffs. Making a pure free trade argument against Nutlick is not going to convince anybody. No. Like, that's not – Trump is not going to be convinced by that. And he has still, like, bought these guys, the free market, the Wall Street Journal, Republican Times, have, like, convinced themselves that Trump is one of them and that there's a deal coming on the back end that's going to be good for the economy. It's like, no, this is the guy that bankrupted the casinos. He loves the word tariff.
Right.
That's what's happening. And Kennedy has, like, fooled himself, I think, into thinking that this is going to work.
Well, maybe. I think he was just trying to expose the ridiculousness of their arguments, right? And he's like, if you guys really believe in reciprocity, then surely you would believe in reciprocity. And Lalek's like, no, never, no way. So, yeah, I mean, they're both a little bit delusional in their own separate ways.
Yeah.
And I guess to your point, you know, now that Musk is gone, I mean, he doesn't like the tariffs too. You now basically have, you know, Peter Navarro, Lutnick, who is just going to do whatever the hell Trump tells him to do, and Trump and Vance basically making policy. And it's just like, this is – the guardrails for the free trade crowd are not there anymore.
Like Elon is a guardrail?
Well, to a degree, yeah.
Whew. All right. That's a good podcast. Did you have any smokes yesterday? Were you guys riding so high that you felt like
– kind of needed one at the end of it.
All right. Any final thoughts for the people taking them into the weekend?
I don't know. Good luck. It's rough out there. I'm excited to see what drama comes today, but like then I step back and I'm like, we're living through something really dark.
Let's close with that because there's this little person inside me, my little Jiminy Cricket.
He still exists.
Dude, he's getting not dead. He's louder and louder every year as I get older. I'm getting soft. and yesterday, Jiminy was cricketing it in my ear, you know, and he's like, you shouldn't enjoy this as much. Like, things are still really bad. No. Trump's still going to be president for 3.5 years. Blah, blah, blah. And I kept muzzling Jiminy.
Shut up,
being
Jiminy.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Let me have a little joy.
Yeah. Let us have a little joy. And so I would like to tell the listeners to do that. Enjoy it.
And we do that a lot. You and I especially. We laugh at it, and it's good to laugh. Yeah. I think it's important to laugh. And it's important to say, what the fuck? This is ridiculous. And that's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't feel – you should feel bad doing that. And then I sit back and I'm like, these guys are running shit.
Yeah. It's also important to protest. And that's why we'll be doing that today.
Hey, good luck tonight.
Thank you.
I'm excited for it.
It's going to be rowdy.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, you should be. Me and John Lovett with Longwell. I think that we'll be posting that either on the Love It or Leave It feed or right here. People can check it out. Maybe bits on both. It might be NC-17, I guess is all I'm going to say.
I can't wait. I'll be NC-17.
There'll be some very serious parts. And then there'll be some parts that are a little yucky for people. So enjoy. Everybody else, we'll see you back here Monday. We're working on the sked. We might have a little change of sked. It might not be Bill Kristol Monday. It might be. So, you know, I don't want to leave you on your toes this weekend. Enjoy the feud. We'll see you back here Monday. Peace.
Hey. Mustard on the beat, ho, depot, any rap nigga, he a freak, though. Man damn, call her Amber Lambs, tell him breathe, bro. Nella nigga to the cross, he walk around like Tizo. What's up with these jabroni ass niggas trying to see Compton? The industry can hate me, fuck them all and they mama. How many ops you really got? I mean, it's too many options. I'm finna pass on this body, I'm John Stockton. Beat your ass and hide the Bible if God watching. Sometimes you gotta pop out and show niggas. Certified boogeyman, I'm the one that up to score with him. Walk him down whole time, I know he got some hoe in him. Pole on him, extort shit, bully the floor on him. Say Drake, I hear you like I'm young. You better not ever go to cell block one. To any bitch that talk to him and they in love, just make sure you hide your little sister from him. They tell me Chubb's the only one that get your hand-me-downs. And party at the party playing with his nose now. And Baka got a weird case, why is he around? Certified lover boys, certified pedophiles. Wop, 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 wop. Dot, fuck him up. Wop, 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 wop. I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a bitch? Ain't you tired? Trying to strike a chord, and it's probably A minor. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
The Borg Podcast is produced by Katie Cooper with audio engineering and editing by Jason Brown. They not like us. They
not like us. Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.